Praise be Jesus and Mary. Lord, will only a few people be saved? In today's gospel passage from Luke chapter 13, Jesus has posed this question. It's a good question, but our Lord doesn't answer it directly. And he simply answers another related, yet far more important question. You know, how can one be saved? The theme of salvation is perhaps the predominant theme of our Lord's preaching and teaching. After all, what mankind needed most was precisely that, salvation, a savior. A few truths regarding salvation that we shall consider briefly are the following. First, all are called to salvation. Second, the way to salvation is by means of entering through the narrow gate. And third, we must freely cooperate with our own salvation. The first truth, all are called to salvation. Christ came as the Messiah and Savior, not only for the Jews, his own people, the chosen people of God, but for all men, all the Gentiles, the non-Jews. So all men without exception. The new people of God that Christ would establish would encompass all peoples and all nations, Jews and Gentiles. It would be universal, that is, Catholic. The prophets of the Old Testament often spoke about this, as Isaiah does in today's first reading when he says, "Thus says the Lord, I know their works and their thoughts, and I come to gather nations of every language. They shall come and see my glory, and they shall proclaim my glory among the nations." And in today's gospel passage, Jesus refers to this universal character of the new people of God in this way, "And people will come from the east and from the west and from the north and the south and will recline at table in the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God established by Christ here on earth and which endures eternally in heaven is the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And he invites all men to form a part of her and through her receive the gift of salvation. Only in the church does one find all the saving truths that guide us securely to heaven. And only in the church does one find all the channels of grace given by Christ, which strengthen, sanctify, and save us, particularly those great channels of grace that are the sacraments, all seven: baptism, confirmation, Holy Eucharist, reconciliation, anointing of the sick, holy orders, and holy matrimony. It's true and painfully true today. We know that the church is made up of sinners. Of course, Our Lady is the exception, the Immaculate Conception, Mother of the Church. But yet the church is nevertheless holy, precisely because of Our Lady, you know, being the most excellent member, and the church is, you could say, personified in her. She is the church, kind of, you know, all of her perfection, beauty, and holiness. But the church as a whole continues to be holy, also because she makes saints of those sinners who avail themselves of the channels of grace she possesses and gives to them as their mother, Holy Mother Church. The church always makes saints in every age, sometimes more, sometimes less. But all the grace is there to make saints in every age, our age included. And indeed, saints are being made in our midst. But we don't see that, of course, usually. You know, that's not something that we are informed about all too eagerly. The church herself is called the sacrament of salvation. That is the means of salvation by which God saves and sanctifies man. The second truth, the manner of arriving at salvation is by entering through the narrow gate. This narrow gate that Jesus speaks about today and other places in the Gospels, as when he spoke in the Sermon on the Mount, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those that find it are few. But what is this narrow gate? In St. John's Gospel, we have the answer Jesus himself gives to us when he says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved." Christ himself, therefore, is the gate through which alone can one enter into his heavenly kingdom. We still live in an age of religious indifference, and we need to, as Catholics, take very seriously this fundamental truth that not all religions are the same, though this is so popular, you know, a statement and conviction, they're all the same. Nothing can be further from the truth. In fact, they are very different. Of course, some more than others, and not all can be true, since various fundamental truth claims can be totally contradictory. I mean, for example, one religion claims that there are many gods, hundreds, thousands of them, in fact, according to them. And another says that there's only one God, the monotheistic religions of which we are among as Catholics, Christians. But among monotheistic religions, the way to salvation, how to get to heaven, is certainly not agreed upon. Christ made the claim that, and we heard it in the Alleluia verse, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And he founded a very definite church intended to be, you know, the family of God and vehicle by which all peoples could enter his heavenly kingdom, beginning here on earth. The Catholic Church can prove that it is this church founded by Christ and which can be found by any honest truth seeker. Honest truth seeker. And there's a serious moral obligation for every person to seek and embrace the truth wherever it might lead. We know where that leads. Leads into Christ's church. The third and final truth to consider briefly is, though salvation is a gift, it must be freely accepted. As St. Augustine wisely observed, God made us without us, but he won't save us without us. Salvation isn't guaranteed to anyone and everyone. It isn't automatic, though we might want it to be so, you know, so easy. A shoe-in, kind of for everyone. No efforts really needed. Though intended by God for all, salvation, this gift, is not embraced by all. Jesus makes this abundantly clear in the Gospels, and today's Gospel is no exception. "Many, I tell you, will attempt to enter through the narrow gate, but will not be strong enough. Depart from me, you evildoers, and there will be wailing and grinding of teeth," and so forth. God made us in his own image and likeness with that marvelous gift of intellect and free will, that ability to know him, supreme truth, and to freely love him in return, or not. With free will, we can choose one or the other. God calls each and every soul to himself. God is desirous of the eternal happiness of every person, but he will not force anyone to choose him, to embrace the gifts he offers, to love him. St. Francis lamented that love is not loved. How could this be, that God who is love is not loved by some of his creatures? And how strange St. Teresa of Avila once observed or complained that God, who is the all-lovable one, has to command his creatures to love him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. He tells us we must love him because he's the supremely lovable one. Not to do so is the definition of sin. To not love God, to not love him above all things, and to choose other things, to love other things instead of him or more than him. But to actually love God, he does help us do this, of course, with his grace. But we must say yes. We must collaborate with his grace. We must open our hearts to him and do our part in some mysterious way. And this leads to salvation. So salvation is offered for all. It can only be found in Christ the Savior and through his church. And each one of us must freely embrace the supreme gift of salvation. You know, that's why the church never tires of preaching the gospel and has this supreme duty to share the gospel with others, help others to embrace the one Savior, the one message of salvation, the one means of salvation, Christ and his church. The church is missionary, and therefore we, by extension, are to share in that missionary work of the church, bring souls to him. How important this is today, you know, when there's a great need of a renewed missionary spirit in the church, laxity in the church, lack of zeal. Let us pray that we ourselves might be good, worthy, you know, zealous instruments of bringing others to Christ, bringing Christ to others in his church to receive the gift of salvation. And we ask Our Lady, who is the gate of heaven, too, to intercede for us, for she, going through her, we come to Christ more perfectly and securely. Praise be Jesus and Mary.